Hello, everyone. We have a little break right now, so we're going to start at 10:45.
Okay. I have to admit, guys, doing a split class next year has me concerned. Because being so remote with a lot of the folks being local, I already have a small sense of feeling a bit isolated and forgotten. And I feel like I have to kind of push my way into the group to be a part of it, except for when I'm in school on the weekends, right?
Yeah.
So, and I just don't know if it's going to even be feasible for me to get on a plane in November, the way Texas is going right now.
Well, you can sign up now and get the discount without and cancel later if you need to.
You know, if you find that that's, you still feel that way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And a big part of it, too, is like the building of that energy entity of the group, right? Like it's an entity in itself. And I feel like that is going to be difficult to do with it split. I don't know. I'm on the fence. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, just feel your way through it. Summer, I agree with you. And, you know, it's funny because I'm watching what's going on in the Northeast in the, you know, that area of the country blocking folks that are coming in. So it's like, who knows what it's going to look
right.
like in November, but, but feel it that the school is the process that we're going through with the school of like looking at our beliefs and looking at our, what we feel about the world and dismantling that and then developing the symbolic site. These are all pieces that it's like train ourselves to do ongoing. So any way you can get a piece of that, I mean, the journey is just starting now for the rest of your life, for the rest of all of us. It's like this continuing journey. And the tools that we're learning here in the school right now are the tools that we'll be using for the rest of our lives, excavating and digging in and then experimenting and playing with new models of reality, you know? So just be thinking about in terms of when you're looking forward at your personal growth, on your development, on your journey, so.
Yeah, I mean, I get that too. Like, and I also decided, you know, when I signed up for school that I was committed for the long haul. Obviously none of us could have foreseen this when we made that decision. But
you know, Reese was going to talk about this or asked us to talk about is how is everything that's going on right now in the world fit our personal story, our personal journey? And it's kind of nice because, you know, if you look at it from the standpoint of the alchemist, our personal legend is how does this fit in our personal legend, in our journey? I mean, we are living in 2020 and we're living in this. We chose it. I mean, if you want to believe that, we chose at some level to be experiencing this. And then how can we bring our, who we are, our healing presence into this world? Because the craziness that's happening in the world right now is a calling for all of us to heal, to bring our healing presence into the world more than ever. So, yeah, but I appreciate it. I mean, talk about this stuff, all of you guys. Let's, you know, your ambivalence is about staying in the program or not or whatever. Let's bring it out on the table and talk about it so we're not stuck in our heads.
Yeah. So what's So how can I help? How can I answer questions or, not just about the program, but about anything. Certainly you know, did anybody have any questions on the program itself? Is that what you were just fielding, Mike?
Yeah. Talking about our feelings about, you know, going forward into year three and, you know, just the different ambivalences about that. And you know what I'd love to hear you talk about, Reese? You had mentioned earlier on about how this COVID is impacting us and calling us into our power more and drawing us into more of our healing presence in the world. And I think that you wanted to talk about that at some point, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, ultimately, you know, we have this structure, you know, that was our life, based on sort of all the basic rules of living, and we live within that, and you know, and now, just, you know, that's assuming, you know, that makes an assumption that the world continues to behave the way it's always behaved, and now that the world has basically decided to, you know, to turn itself on its head. I like your shirt, Raphael. And it's, you know, basically turning itself on its head. What does that mean for you? And how is this an incredible opportunity? So much of what you do in your brain, you know, they say that you know, 95% of your decisions are made by the subconscious, and the subconscious are just these vow programs that are running in your life. And so there's, you know, so the question is, you know, when you have an opportunity like this, when things change, how much are you willing to change? What really is that mastery? So we're in, you know, so we talk about it, you know, how many of you gained weight during the time, and how many of you lost weight and got in better shape? So there's one, you know, the first level of mastery, body mastery. How many of you found that you emotionally pulled back, you know, emotionally withdrew, or you know, sort of like, it was sort of like, wow, fine, I can finally, you know, disconnect? Or how many of you found that you had more anxiety or more nervousness, or you were shorter, or you used your defenses more, right? So that's the sort of the next level. And which defenses did you use? Did you use the, you know, the rule keeper, which is like, I'm fine, I'll just deal with this, or the charismatic leader defense, which is, how do I take advantage of this? You know, which is, what did you do with that? Did you, all of a sudden, now you're at home taking care of other people? It's like, you know, what defense did you go into? And then understand that that's an incredible way that you need to sort of manage your emotions to start taking care of yourself again. And what is it, what would it look like for you to be living, you know, your real power? What if this is the opportunity for you and the school as well? I mean, keep in mind that you have a team of people here that are wanting to support you in, you know, in making choices in your life that no one else will ever bother asking you about. Okay. You know, what, you know, it's like thinking about the third year, right now, remember you were sort of like the, you know, you were the newbies last year, like that's like kindergarten. Now the second year, you're like, you're the teenagers, and rightfully, you know, just enough to be able to say, yeah, but I can freaking do this on my own. I'm done. I got enough. You know, I'm, and like teenagers, they start questioning the parent. And I think it was, Mark Twain. He said, when I was 17, my dad was a complete idiot. But by the time I was 20, he had learned a lot. And I think that's, you know, that's one of the things that does happen in the second year, where there's sort of like a, I got this now, I'm pretty good. But then there's so much more. There's that, you know, that acceleration of that deeper connection. So why don't you tell me what's going on? I mean, this is, we got an open mic here. What's happening with all of you? Where can I, how can I support you in sort of in either understanding where you are or how this, for instance, let's use some examples, you know, what's going on and what would it look like for you to live your purpose? I mean, so how you take care of your body, how you manage your emotions, your values, what you actually invest time and energy and money into, then the people you invest your time and energy and money into, and the career you invest in, which should be an expression of that love. So I love me. I manage my emotions. I know my profile. I know my sort of like, this is what I put my time into, and what I put my time into are people and my relationships and working on how to be a better person in relationship, a better, you know, and to share what my real gift is. And when I figure that out and I'm loving my life, my loving my relationships, then I'm ready to go to business. If you go to business to try to solve the fact that you're not managing your relationships very well, you'll just stay in that negative cycle forevermore. You have to work through that and develop that. And so I'd love to find out sort of where's the group as far as how you feel like you're in connecting, or is there a disconnection, you know, in some way. I sort of sense that there's that each of you have found different groups that you really connect with better, which is totally fine. It doesn't have to be the entire group, but finding an oasis of some place in your life where the only thing that counts is the truth is a very, very difficult place to find. Even in your primary relationships, it's not always about the truth. It's about, because there's a much bigger structure there. The marriage or a relationship has an archetype within it that defines things. Inside Mystery School, in here, you get to practice just being truthful. And so let's be truthful. Where are you right now? How can I support you in getting more out of what you're doing here? You know, what is this, what's sort of like this, you know, what's sort of the aha moment that's like, you know, what I really am after is this. Anybody can share anything that's going on?
Reese.
Yes, I'll share.
Yeah.
Lisa, go ahead.
Okay.
No, I. Oh, echoing.
Oh, okay, I'm off.
Hold on, I gotta move. Am I muted? Can you guys hear me? Sorry, I'm with Teresa, so we're echoing. So I just wanted to say that, I don't know if this is going to work, that I don't think I would have been as calm as if I hadn't done this class with the whole COVID thing. And I just want to say thank you to everyone for supporting and making this journey so much easier. Like, it just keeps getting better and better. And I can't imagine not coming next year, even if it's on Zoom. And I have to tell you, Reese, that this, you guys are doing a phenomenal job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
So I can't hear, but.
Oh.
Second that.
Yeah, nice. So that, yeah. And thank you. Yeah, and so the other thing that keep in mind that 30-day program. So what I learned from COVID was that I also have a talent for doing some online trainings, right? And that 30 days, I got to give you something that I don't normally get to give you on a weekend like this, on a class like this, because there's so many pieces to your. So in class, what you need to understand is that this is a mystery school. That means that on a weekend, every piece of you has to be acknowledged and dealt with. Okay. It's not like high school or college or grad school where it's so basically simple. It's just like, there's one thing you're going to do and you just follow through with that. And as long as you do that, then you get your degree and then you move on. And somehow you're a better person for that. It's not how it works. If you're not working on both your body, your chakras, your life purpose, and your soul at the same time in balance, there's no real transition that happens. You stay in the same cycles, because whatever the piece is that's missing is always going to drop you back. It's always going to say, yeah, but I got to do this. And that's why people get in. That's why you signed up for the program to begin with, right? It's like there's something that's just keeping me in this pattern. And you know, and Lisa, just how you, I mean, I noticed the same thing. It was like, you know, COVID happened and it's all this big shutdown. And after doing all this work, I'm just like, you know, I go, you know, there's so many things I can do other than panic, you know, because I own my energy field now. I can choose this. And so what I did literally within a week of doing that is I decided I was going to do that 30-day training.
Right.
Which now I'm realizing if I have the course, the school, and I offer you a 30-day training, new ones twice a year, you're mm-hmm. going to get even double the amount of training because I can specifically do those on top of the work. So on top of all what you've got to do here, where you just kind of wrestle with this, and part of what you may be wrestling with around coming back or not coming back is that it is almost impossible to sort of like put a label on what we're doing here. And for each one of you, it's different. The key is for each one of you at this point, especially as we're coming down the home stretch here of your second year, what is it that you really, really want in your life? And then ask yourself the question, would your, you know, better relationships, better energy management, better emotional management, you know, really understanding yourself at the chart level where you're just now sort of understanding those like archetypes. Next year, you rename them your archetypes, right? Next year, you're working, you know, you're taking these lower self and higher self qualities and they become your friends. And you're not just sort of like, it's not something on a piece of paper. When you read your chart at the end of the third year, it makes you cry because you love yourself so much. Right now you look at it, right? You look at your chart right now and you go, I got this problem, I got that problem, I got this problem, I got that problem. And you absolutely, your brain has to get that first. It's like, these things are problems until I realize from the sort of like the pineal gland, when I realize, oh my God, that's my spirit in that thing. That's my spirit. I have to own that power. And so this is sort of like the transition zone in the second year where we have to teach you a whole, I mean, you learn so much stuff in the second year that really just gets polished in the third year. So you learned archetypes, you learned lower self, higher self, you learned intentional healing, right? You learned that you have to, you know, that practicing and noticing and paying more attention to yourself, you know, are you doing your meditations? Are you doing your connection? Are, you know, how is it that you have balanced work and life, relationship, health? How are you doing all of that in your life? And if you're saying, you know, I could really use a lot more, and listen, I could use a lot more. I come back every year because this is not something like we said, mastery is a 6 to 10 year process and 10,000 hours, right? To master balancing these four dimensions of your consciousness, it's not something that you just like, I got it or I didn't get it. It's something that you have to have a vision. It's like, I would like that life. I would like to be waking up every day, connecting with the people I connect with. And it doesn't, you know, I don't know. As I look, every class is different in how they connect. Some of the things that you do next year where you have a group goal, do tend to, you know, have the group bond together and bring your specialties into whatever the goal is. But finding like your tribe, and it may be the whole tribe, it may be three or four people, but use those people as your ability, as sort of like, what would it be like to have relationships that just tickle me? It's just like, oh my God, that's what I want. And where else are you going to practice doing that than here? Because your partner has an agenda for you, right? Your boyfriend, your husband, your whatever, your kids, they got an agenda for you. They're great and you can have intimacy, but there's always an agenda. And here, it's like the whole objective is, I got no agenda. I just want to love you and figure out how to love you more. If I'm loving me more, I can learn how to love you more. And that's really the whole essence of it. So you now have all the tools. The third year, we teach you how to really hone them, and which ones are the most important for you going forward. Does that make sense? All right, so any just let me know how it's going. What has this year, so you've done the meditation last night about what you got from what happened this year, what moved forward, what didn't. So talk to me. What moved forward, what didn't?
Reese, I'll share.
Yeah.
I have lost another 70 pounds this year.
Woohoo!
Since September. I, through COVID, walked at least 4 miles a day and have started working out again, which I had to stop after my accident a couple of years ago. My health continues, my physical health continues to transform. And most of all, I feel like I have found some sense of balance and some sense of real control over my own physical health, which I've never felt before, which is remarkable to me. Everyone I know notices it. My son is learning infinitely from that, and that's really important to me. Again, through COVID, and through the chakra class that you did, which was amazing, I understand detachment so much more. And the whole piece about why I was learning to follow my gut, my instincts, my intuition, and honor my inner psychic in a way that I had shut down for a really long time. I get my psychic hits and downloads have expanded infinitely this year, and I finally trust them and don't think I'm making things up. I have a group of people who doesn't think I'm insane when I get them, and they can help me figure that stuff out, which is amazing because it is a really big part.
And keep in mind, everybody here. Every one of your classmates are the only ones that will know that you are insane. Okay, this is the key to this.
Yes.
That
it's okay.
But that's the whole thing. We're all so crazy to think that there's some normal. Like we're getting back to the new normal. There was never a normal. There was just crazy people thinking that one thing is a way to go. And in class, each one of you, as you like, you're sharing more and more of who you are. And it's just sort of like, oh my God, it's so easy to be you. If you're still working at being you, you need more of this work, right? So you found that, so the pathway in for you was you were maybe managing some of these other upper things, but you weren't managing your body. You weren't managing your health. And then you notice, oh my God, well, that's a domino effect on all the other ones. I had done a ton of work over here in my purpose, in my relationships, in my career. I got all that stuff going, but there's something big missing. There's a big domino, you know, that needs to fall. And so now your health, it's like, oh my God, all of a sudden my psychic's better. My relationships are better. I'm just happier as a person. That's why I always start with the body. If you're going to do one thing, get your body in shape. But don't do it like a rigid, like rule keeper. That's just as bad. It's like, just find a way that you love being alive. Yeah, love it.
And that's been amazing. And honestly, my family relationships, you know, have been really challenged over the last 2 years as I'm becoming more me. That's really hard for them. But one of the things that I really lost last year is I don't have anxiety around any of that anymore. What will be, and it's just going to continue to be an evolution, but I can set boundaries for myself and I can feel okay about what I need and getting what I need and not feeling bad about it and not being the narrative that I've had in my life for all of my life and understanding those vows and defenses. And I, you know, truthfully, I get overwhelmed just like everybody else at times. And so the joke is, we were talking earlier about, you know, do you continue or not continue? I hit the wall a couple of times this year and was like, yeah, I can't do this. It's too much money. It's too much time. And you know, my dear friends were like, are you kidding? Really? Like you're not even the same human that we met 2 years ago. And at the beginning of COVID, I felt like as a group, we all really came together. And then of course, over the 4 months, because this has been endless, it does dissipate a little bit, but the threads are still there. And I feel I found such an immense, I would never have believed this. Again, you explained this in the chakra class. The long distance healings are so powerful and were so powerful. And that particular ritual, as well as the physical rituals that I kept throughout this, kept me grounded, kept the anxiety at bay, kept everything being amazing. And then the detachment, I was there. It was sort of like, I don't know if it allowed it to come. And I was purging my house and my life and just changing all of those things or letting go of things that I thought were mattered and they don't. And so again, right. I look in the mirror and I don't recognize myself in any way. And I don't know what's going to happen a year from now. I suspect I'll look even different in many ways in my life.
A lot. But that's the whole like thing. The third okay. really.
Yeah. Changes.
So everybody, you know, as Teresa's talking, what I was talking about yesterday, what a vision looks like. Okay. This is what you're after. So all that shifted was that you had this deeper vision of who you are. And the problem is out there in crazy land, you know, in the insane asylum, you know, you read Veronica Decides to Die. Outside the school is the Villette. It's Villette's out there. You know, that vision of seeing yourself and saying, oh, so now you look at the future. Now you look at something like COVID comes or worse. I mean, God knows if this was a big conspiracy and the scientists were just too stupid to actually make something that actually killed 10 million people, they'll find out a way to do it. Okay. And then you're going to have to deal with that. But the way you deal with things is not in segmented, structured, I do this, I do this. The way you deal with things is, I know that in the end, I'm going to still be here. There's something that I remember in me that creates a vision for my future, for what I do, for how I operate in relationship. And so these friends that you've made in class and the way you've made them, you got to notice, have you really shifted that awareness that's just like, you know, I've remembered what it was like to be in kindergarten again and just have a friend. And then when you have that kind of just sort of like acceptance of another person, you're like, I don't want any relationships that aren't that. And you got to practice those relationships. You have to practice doing that with as many people as you can. Or if you have a little tight little group of two or three of you that's what you're going to do, great. You don't have to have many, just one or two because that's the muscle you're building. And when you build that kind of muscle, your vision for your future is like you said, I have more confidence. It's like, I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to get divorced. You don't know if you're going to have, you know, get sick. You don't know if someone that you know is going to die. You don't know any of that stuff. All you can do is know that no matter what it is, it doesn't change my purpose of loving the way I love, having compassion the way I have compassion, having appreciation the way I have appreciation, you know, the gift that I have, the what I can do, I can help anybody in my family who can do this, but it doesn't change me. The outside world doesn't change what's really important to me. And that's really, if there's any message that I wanted you to get, and that's why, you know, I was talking with the third years yesterday, you know, about the grad program, and I'd love to, I could probably play it for you, but Gwen was like, you know, I did the 3 years and I really got a lot out of it. But she said, she goes like, but I didn't think the cake had already been totally baked. You know, so you love that. I loved how she said it. So I wasn't sure if the cake was totally baked. And since she went and she did the grad program where it's like a small group and, you know, it was 8 people or 10 people. And she was just like, oh my God, by the time I got to that level, I realized that everybody in the program can talk without bullshit. You know, so by the time the third year is done, you've gone long enough in this language to say, I just get right to the point. I'm not gonna, you know, the point is, I still have the shit that bugs me. I still have these problems in my life that keep coming up. I still have these patterns, and I know enough about myself to know that I can change these things directly, and I want help with doing that. And it just takes time to get to that place. And I think that you've gotten this sort of like, oh my God, you know, there's a piece of me now that nobody gets to take away ever again. You know, the whole outside world wants you never to know that part of you. So awesome. 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 Okay. Anybody else? Well, I mean, this is great. I'd much rather do this than teach you something, you know, to help you sort of work, you know, and understand where you're at. Anybody else? What do you got? Come on.
I'll say something.
Okay.
I'm doing next year. I mean, I I can't imagine this tech stuff and doing it virtually and not being with everybody is really terrible to me. And you guys are doing a great job, but it's really hard. And
just by the way, Nancy, the reason that I have made this total commitment to making it work, even if you never get in the big group, you just come in and you do your small, you know, like your class group, until this is over, it'll get done. I'm going to make sure, because I do believe that time you spend on the weekends is alchemy. You know, there's alchemy here. Everybody's getting it. There's some, you know, and long distance healings work great and things like that. But there's something about being, think about it this way. Every one of your vows, I always say this, but it's like now you're really experiencing it. Every one of your vows has a person's face on it. Okay. And thank God every class has every person, every class has a personality in it that has whatever your vow, you vowed against something, somebody, there's a person in your class that has that energy. And so now you, if you work through everybody in the class, you're not hiding, you're not sort of isolating yourself from certain people, and you work through those relationships, that face-to-face, actually realizing that, oh my God, I'm going into defense with this person, and I'm not seeing this person, I'm seeing my dad, I'm seeing my mom, I'm seeing this. It is, to me, it is one of the key sort of mastery tools, is to be able to go into your defense and catch yourself projecting. That's the hardest thing. We don't know we're projecting because it's so our vision. But being able to do that, and people make it safe to do that, and friends make it safe to do that. And God knows a few of you have projected on me. It's just is part of what is one of the greatest things, because at some point you realize, oh my God, he's really not like my dad. He's really not like my brother. It's just Reese. And he's got a good intention. It's like, oh, maybe I missed my brother too. Maybe I missed my father. Maybe there's that quality within me that I rejected. That's really what's happening here. And each one of you give each other that great gift. So I hear you, Nancy. I am going to fight hard for this to be, even if there's one or two classes that have to be this way, I hope it doesn't. I'm really looking at, because I don't think people are going to easily go back into their homes again. So I think we'll have at least small group ability and maybe the whole thing by November. But yeah, I hear you.
So I'm committed to doing it, because to not do it would be unfathomable to me.
Nice.
I mean, I can't go back to what I was doing before. So I have to go forward, and this has got to be a part of it. So there's that. And the other part is I am just so physically miserable that I can't stand it.
You mean being alone?
Well, no. I had a horrible migraine in the night. I woke up with a sore throat. I think maybe I'm sick. Maybe I have COVID. Maybe I'll die. I don't know, you know.
Nice, Nancy.
Well, I think after sharing like this, your throat's going to get better.
No, we'll see.
What?
We'll see.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, this is a big, it's big, and there's a lot to be said here, and you've got so much to say. That fifth chakra, and we did some good work yesterday with you. Did some good work yesterday with you. You really nailed it. So, I love that. So, you know, that kind of empowerment, and sometimes our bodies take a little while to catch up, you know?
Well, I'm sick of waiting for my body.
And just leave it behind. Just keep, but listen, I was actually talking with the grads and you know, and it always comes back. We talked about there with Teresa as well. Whatever you're doing for conditioning, make sure you're also, you're like nutrition, look at the whole element of it, the nutrition, the exercise, muscle building. A lot of people get to a point in their life where it's like, okay, I'm going to maintain, I'm going to walk, I'm going to do these things, I'm going to do the maintenance. There is no time in your life for maintenance on your body. There's improvement. It's like, yesterday I lift this much, today I'm going to lift this much. Even if it's like a half a pound more, whatever it is, it's like, it just, and doing think about your body as it will, your muscles from, you know, till you're 110 years old will respond to stress and relaxing, stress and relaxing. And so sometimes when you're having a chronic, one of the women in the grad program is having chronic, some chronic, you know, sort of sore throats and things like that. And she was like, she slowly sort of stepped off of some of her normal routines because of that, which then perpetuated. And so it's just like, okay, as soon as you're back ready to go, what are you going to do? How are you going to see yourself as being younger, stronger, better, you know, and more willing to take charge of your life? So yeah. And I love it, Nancy. And so are you with people this weekend or are you on your own?
No, I'm by myself. Well, my husband's in the house.
Well, yeah. But I mean, classmates. So, just trying to find time to get together, and you can social distance or wear masks or whatever it is, but just being able to be in that presence of other people. Remember, this each weekend, the teachers and I create like a vessel, right? It's part of the mystery school. It's the secret sauce, right? It's that this rhythm is being indoctrinated into you. That's why when we missed the class in April, it was like shocking to your system. That's why I really wanted to put that 30-day thing together, because like this needs to stay in your system, because that's the evolution. And what's nice is that your classmates, even the ones that aren't your best friends, have that rhythm in them, right? That's why working with your classmates, spending any time with your classmates, even if it's just for tea or something, there's a funniness. There's a sort of like a, we're kind of outside. There's the world. And then there's this little kind of something that's going on in here that I can't put my finger on. And everybody in the class has got a piece of it if they're willing to own that. So anyway, it's a fun thing. So yeah, definitely get out. Thanks, Nancy.
Okay, thank you.
You're doing great. I'll totally see you next year. And you know, a lot of some people are lifers. I mean, Gwen, who said she went to the grad program, then became a TA, and it's, you know, it's like, you know, it's sometimes it's a long, sometimes it's a, the 10 years happen in the school, right? Your mastery. So Mike, how long you been in the school, Mike?
I think it's been about 10 years.
10 years, yeah.
It's a long haul. I'm right. Still getting it.
Hey, it's mastery. And listen, when the teachers, like Mike or whoever, find that they've hit their mastery level of it, it's like they kind of get it. It's like, oh yeah, I got that. Then they, you know, someone else takes their place. They kind of move on in the scheme of things. So the school does offer this sort of extended thing, but the 3 years are sort of the basic. And I can tell you, no matter what you want to master, 3 years is the minimum. You want to master your business, you want to go to business coaching, don't go for a year of business coaching, don't go for 2 years. 3 years is the minimum to even understand what you're doing. You know, and that's true in every area of life. So that's why I run a 3-year program rather than just a 1 year, and, you know, come back whenever you feel like it. Let's make this a progressive transition so that I can give you your black belt at the end of the 3rd year. You then decide if you want to have your 2nd or 3rd or 4th degree, but I want to give you a black belt in you, not in me, not in the work, a black belt in you by the time you're done. All right. So keep going. Anybody else have something that they want to share or want to have questions? I mean, it doesn't have to be about next year. It can just be about what's going on in your life and how this work applies to it, right? This is what we're doing here. We're kind of getting that, like, if you have tools that can handle, you know, body, emotions, you know, you're sort of like how you're going to manage your time, your relationships, your work, and your spiritual practice. If we teach you all that stuff, I don't think there's any part of you, and you notice that when things come up, there's no problem. There's something that we do that's here to support that. So what is it that's going on that you need support in?
So Reese, this is Liz.
Who's that?
Go ahead. Oh, there you are.
Yeah. So I can share the fact that the work on the archetypes this year really taken hold with me. And I definitely feel like it's, you know, I'm a cake half baked. I haven't figured it all out, but you, like, embracing my archetypes and embracing all of that has helped me navigate. And like I shared that I somehow in the middle of all of this have landed my dream job. I have to figure out how I incorporate this work into my dream job without like making every HR person's head explode. But I feel like that's like my mission, is to kind of bring some of this into corporate world as sort of like a coach player kind of thing.
Yep.
But the archetype stuff really helped me embrace it and figure out. And I just went through a month long negotiation with them and I got everything I wanted.
Oh my God.
You know,
I love you.
Literally.
I'm going to have you negotiate for me too. Maybe you should do my clothes instead of me. Yeah. And it just, I mean, you're just so much happier too.
Yeah.
There's like a settledness. It's not just that you're at the lower part of your screen. You're actually settled.
Sorry. You know?
It's like there's like a part of you that's just kind of been like, oh my God, what I was carrying that load for so long. I was carrying that burden of something that I had to be and had to do and had to be tough and had to, you know, defend myself. And now you're just like, oh, come on. You know, there's and your humor came out in a way that it just is like, it's been so beautiful to see you, you know, flower. And
yeah.
And I, God knows, HR, I've always thought it's like, if I could ever like have enough of a corporate brain, this work, profiles and understanding sort of, you know, this sort of like that people have this one gift. You just got to find out what their one thing is. And then they're going to be so happy if you help them find that.
Yeah. You know? Well, so I'll share that I got a download probably about like 5 months ago that my big why is to bring your stuff into corporate.
Oh my God. I will so kiss you when that happens. Cause it's like, they so need of all the things, of all the places that need it the most. It's like, these people are so many of them. It's like the job defines their personality.
Yeah.
And they can still do the job, but they just don't want to lose themselves in the process. So nice.
Right.
So good.
But you have to figure out that line that will not explode the HR side.
Right. Well, we have to figure it's a new language, you know? You can't call them, you know, what we call them. It has to be, you know, something else that's sort of like easy to swallow.
Yeah.
Corporate loves a good story. So you're going to find that. You're going to find the story that makes this work. Yeah, that's really important. My story is too airy-fairy. You know, like we said, so thinking about, you know, here you have this brilliance, this genius, this, you know, this downloads, and you're going to bring it right down to Chakra One. Those people in corporate, it doesn't matter how much money you make, how happy are they on the inside? How well do they ground themselves in themselves? It's, you know, their job changes and they get sick. You know, their job, you know, there's no person outside of that survival.
Oh, I lived that for 28 years. So.
Me too, sister.
Yep.
Yeah, we all do. And then we realize, oh my God, I think I ought to do some inner work here. And then when you find out what's inside there, you're like, wow, I knew that as a kid. How did I forget that?
Yep.
Nice. Yeah, no, love it, Liz. That's so, so good.
Reese, Willa's been waiting to talk with you.
Who?
Willa.
Hey, Willa.
So Reese, as a result of these last 2 years, I'm about to make a huge move in that I'm going to move back to London from Wales to be nearer my son's family. And my concern for next year is whether I literally have enough energy to do both. I mean, traveling across the pond feels... you know, I mean, in Wales, you can only go 5 miles still, let alone fly across the pond. but I am in London at the moment, and I'm looking to do a house renovation. And I often think of your phrase, do I have a chakra for that? You know, I'm still trying to work out whether I do or not. But what I do notice is that this inner work takes a fuck of a long time. You know, a lot. Sorry about my French. So, you know, it takes a lot of effort. You know, and I'm just curious as to whether, that's where I'm at the moment is, can I fit it all in? What I'm loving is that I can feel the guidance to come to London, you know, to be here, to uproot myself, to make the big change, because I kind of think, well, you get access to an 18-month-old when they're 18 months old, you know, so why wouldn't you just sit and just enjoy their company? You know,
absolutely.
And Yeah, because it's, you know, that's the gift you can, I can give him, presence, just presence.
And, so you're feeling, you're recognizing that being called to your life is the only thing that'll ever make you happy. And learning how to do that is not practicing being called to your life. It's removing all the reasons that you can't feel it. That's what we're doing. So in the school, the result of removing all the blocks in your chakras and really facing them and working them through is that you, at the end of it, you realize I don't have to do anything to be me.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this. Your rule keeper is so tough on you. And it's like, this is a lot of work. Okay. So I'm going to give your permission. You sign up for school next year and you come to whatever classes you can come to. And then you do the other ones online. But you don't say ahead of time, well, I'll never be able to do this, or only be able to do this, or I'll do three of them. You decide, you know, and of course you're going to, you know, book flights at a certain point, but you decide how it goes. And then allow yourself to, you know, to be called to it. Cause it's like this, what you just did, but like you're saying, you just knew I'm going to move back to England. Right now you're making this massive change. Do you think having some coaching and some people that work with you as your heart opens up more and more as you're with your grandson, you know, how does that work? How does it look? Who else is going to be able to walk you through and down that road, you know? I think that you've brought an enormous amount. When you come to class, you bring an enormous amount of compassion and caring to the group.
Thank you.
You also bring a really tough inner critic, which doesn't let us love you as much as had you just been able to say, all right, I'm just here to get loved. What if you weren't here to necessarily fix something, you know, even though we're going to be dismantling and changing things and it's like, oh my God, I definitely have that thought, or I have this thing. What if you were just here to get loved, just like you're going to love your grandson?
Yeah, well, if I wouldn't have flown across the pond thinking I was looking for love.
I know, I'm hoping in the third year you do.
Yeah.
Do you understand? This has been your, and almost always what brings us into a job or a program or something is the opposite of what actually we're going to get from it. Okay. The truth is that you needed love from the beginning, and just that's it. And stop, begin and end. And all of your skills and gifts and all that sort of stuff don't go away when you're being loving or being loved and being open. You have all that stuff. But the rule of the rule keeper, and this is rule keeper weekend, right? Is that until I do something here, I don't get to get loved. Love is always conditional on how good I'm being. Mm-hmm. And since you haven't figured out all your shit, you haven't let us love you yet.
I do.
I know, but not as much as you know you can. There's so much more of you in there. And this, I mean, it really comes down to that for the knowledgeable achiever, and thank you for being that for us. You can see, we can look, feel what's happening. Everybody feel her right now. Feel Willa's heart. Feel how soft her heart is. See what just snuck out of there? That's why you came in the program, Willa. You're not learning any strategy. Liz, you know, is learning, you know, she's learning about the profiles and that sort of, but she learned how to just love herself. Just like, I'm freaking awesome the way I am. I don't need to do anything. But then the skills you have on top of this are just great. And God knows, that little boy is going to really help you access this. And, you know, and I want to be there for you in some way, even online or whatever, we can talk like this, to help you sort of like really integrate that. Children, remember in the life cycle I showed you last year, children come in like the 30s, 40s, in that range, to remind you of what you've lost in the past.
Oh yeah.
And grandchildren, if you didn't get it with your own children, the grandchildren are the sort of like, don't forget, this is so key. You got to get this before you go on.
Yeah, well, I don't have any difficulty loving him. You know, no. In fact, I'm just getting teased for that, you know, because he, yeah. He doesn't. But there is a huge change. You know, I might have to do up a whole property, which will be very challenging. But you know.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. And listen, we're with you. And I'm a creative idealist. You want to figure out how to make it work. I can figure out how to make it work. And I'm not afraid of people. You know, some people are like, well, I can't make all the classes. It's like, if you can make 2 out of 5 and do the other ones online, that's enough. You know, it's what you can do. And then your knowledgeable achiever doesn't say, I failed, I did this. It was just like, my heart needs to connect and this is all I can do. That's what I'll do. That's what love is. You know, it's really, you know, we learn this from our knowledgeable achievers learn this from the emotional intelligence specialist. The emotional intelligence specialist, when they're in their defense, when they're in the poor me, whatever you give them for love is never enough. There it's like, oh, Jesus, you know, it's never, I give. But when they're in their core, they see how much you can give and they say, oh my God, that's so lovely. Thank you so much. I feel your heart. And what happens with that is even though your heart's only this big and theirs is this big, it opens a little more and a little more. It doesn't have to be huge. And so that's really sort of like, you know, that's this gift that you're actually offering us right now. Because inside every knowledgeable achiever is a hidden emotional intelligence specialist. It's not like the charismatic.
We love you.
We love you.
We
love you so much. Yay.
Woo! Thank you.
Nice. See, Willa, you're doing good. Your heart, this is, and amazingly, by the third year, we gel down what each of you actually have brought into the program, right? You actually bring the heart, Willa. You thought you were bringing all the knowledge and the working it through and the understanding you are bringing the heart. Each one of you have to come to this realization that, oh my God, there's this child in me, the child archetype in me that's like so unique and so loving and so caring, or so strong and so playful and such a problem, you know? I mean, we just heard from the problem children, right? You know, so it's like, you know, what is it that you bring to the group that's just genuine? And that's something you take home forevermore.
Thank you.
Willa, could you post that picture again of yourself as a child?
I love it.
I think it's a perfect moment for that. And Reese, can I ask you, could you talk about the I Love Me, that you want them to post the videos and the pictures by tonight? I think it's a nice time for...
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah. It's just the I Love Me song. And we're going to make a little video tomorrow, or hopefully tonight, my video guy is going to pull them all together. So if any of you at lunchtime or whatever, just want to do like a little dance, maybe as a group or individually, and just dance, it's just going to be fun. It's like it's a fun thing. And then you'll have that, you know, because really the metaphor for that song is, you know, I love me, I don't know about you, but it's like when I love me, I can totally love you. It's like that piece of it. Love is always taught to us. It's almost like that song is like sacrilege, right? You know, because love is taught to us as something you give, and it's not. It's something you allow within you. It's like I love. I don't even know what this love is inside of me, but it's this. For me, love is exuberance. Okay. For other people, it's passion. For other people, like for you, Willa, it's just what you did just there. It's just this softness. It's this. You know. Sort of gentleness within you, right? You know, for Liz, I'm looking at Liz here so I can say, you know, for Liz, it's like, love is just like, come on, we can do this. This is just like, no problem. You know, this is it. It's just like, there's each one of you have this one deliverable. And I know we just talked about it very, you know, cursory this year with that little, with your big why, but the whole third year is let's really gel down what counts. And then everything else is like icing on the cake. You know, so that's really it. And so this little metaphor of doing some dancing in front of the camera or just sending a picture. I really don't, you don't have to do a video if you don't want to do, you know, if you don't want to, you know, socially do that. But you can totally just put a picture of something you love to have or do or whatever. You know, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff. Lydia, I don't know if you all know Lydia from first year. She did a couple of videos in like a pink bathrobe with a unicorn and dancing around. It's just like, and it's so Lydia. It's like so like, oh my God, I can so see that. That's what she loves in the world. She's got that unicorn life. So anyway, each of you, just a little bit. It's just kind of like a way to kind of say, yeah, you know, this. I sign up for this program. This is an investment in your heart. Okay. Whatever else you think it's going to do, you know, if you take my work and you bring it to corporate, or you know, it helps you with your coaching program, or it helps you be more present for your grandson, or in your move, or transforming, or choosing a better career. Whatever you use it for is great. But this is an investment in your heart that I don't know anybody else anywhere else that does this sort of thing.
Reese, Cheryl has a question. Cheryl, can you unmute and say your question, or do you want me to read it?
And Mandy's got Mandy's got a question too after that.
Okay. Awesome.
All right.
Carolyn Paula, so I get a twofer.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey Paula.
So for me, it's like I love doing the healings, and I just feel so peaceful and like I can feel the intention, everything. I love it. But I'm so afraid to give up the bookkeeping because I'm finally back on my feet. I'm finally getting my shit together there. But I want to do the other stuff. So I have like this fear, and I want, you know, if I want to come back next year, I want to get through that because, you know, this is something I've been dealing with for like 10 years now, and I want to let it go. So I want to, how do I do it?
I can tell you how I did it, because I started energy school knowing that I was in a soulless job. And after 3 years of energy school, I realized that the job wasn't soulless. Every person in there's got a soul. Every person in there was absolutely amazing. And I just wasn't bringing me, I was so sure that I wanted to be something else, something bigger, something more like a healer or like a, you know, I wanted to be. And then I realized that, oh my God, I'm doing that healing work with all my clients. Right, I'm doing that next level of transformation with them, and you know, and I worked with Dan Millman on like I went out, he wrote the Wayward Spiritual Warrior, and I worked with him a little bit, and he on my life purpose stuff, and he said there may be a period of time when you have a job and a really good hobby. Because that will be what will serve the greater good. If you don't have enough money to create, to do your hobby, you know, and then eventually my hobby became, you know, I figured out a way to make my hobby be something, because I was a natural teacher. I was already, you know, I already had that. I was building like all these ideas. The crystal balls came along, and all of a sudden I was like, shit, I'm creating this. And I was already running big programs around all sorts of other methods in tennis. And the martial arts and stuff, I was like, that's not a big pivot to go to this. So you're healing people around money. And I'm in a mastermind right now with a woman who does coaching on finances, you know, everything. And it sort of came from her realization that she wanted to do more healing work. So her coaching business came out of the fact that she was an accountant, she was a real estate broker, she was a lawyer, or a, I don't know what she was in corporate something, or the real estate sales, whatever it was, and then it's sort of like, oh yeah, and by doing all that and then practicing all of her spiritual practice, which that afforded, then it became sort of like, oh yeah, I'm not actually doing something different over here. You know, the way you help people with their money, the way you do that, the way you connect with people, that, you know, affords it. So I couldn't have ever done the 4 years of energy training had I not had my teaching job, you know, even though the moment I get in there, I'm like, I got to get out of this stupid thing. You know, and I'm not a good person until I do. It's not true. And then at the end of it, I actually loved my job and they fired me because the universe needed me out here. So, so it was like, so at some point you're going to have to fire yourself because it's your own job. But understanding that if you're doing it and you do it really well and you've got a knack for that, there's something in there that you haven't seen yet as well, which doesn't hurt staying with that. And it, and you know, if you want to have a big hobby that really changes the world, and a lot of people's hobbies are what change the world, you know, not their primary mm-hmm. career. So if you want to be doing healing, there's lots of ways to do it.
That's great.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So it's like,
so will I get clear on that next year?
Huh?
On how to do it? Will I get clear on that next year?
I mean, especially you'll get clear on it as soon as you decide. I always have to, you know, at that. So just like we have to have the body, you know, your mastery, your personal mastery has the body. Well, that body at the world level is sort of a house and stability, you know, it's a financial stability, you know? And so you got to take care of that. And that does end up in the, you know, the, ultimately the career that matches with your heart's longing is what your goal is. But you can't get to that career with the heart's longing until you've been able to work through and have something that supports you to have that process. So we all have to do jobs that maybe aren't our ultimate goal. But if you see that job as the means to an end rather than what's keeping you from the end, it'll make a huge difference in how fast the end comes to you.
Okay. Makes sense. All right. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hey, Reese.
Paula, have you got something? What?
Mandy's got a question.
Okay.
Hey, it's actually Mandy's friend. Actually, I have a question. We're all signing with Mandy's account. So,
okay.
Reese, the question's kind of related to profiles. I had an experience where I was doing a shaking ritual and, you know,
You were doing a shaking ritual? Were you shaking another person?
As a person, I was just shaking all parts of my body, right?
Ah, okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure if you had somebody by the neck and you were shaking them. It's like, I have this ritual I get my friends and I shake them. Okay, all right.
I sometimes want to do that to Amy, but...
yeah. Like I have now described what mastery was. I think you need to explain shaking a little bit. Okay. All right. I got it.
Yeah. So I was, you know, I was shaking by myself. No one else was involved. And as I got into it, I have a mirror in my basement, in my gym. And as I was doing this exercise, I saw myself in the mirror as an autistic child. Like I went back to my childhood and it all took me back to this situation where I was an autistic child and something came, like my rule keeper came and completely shut that autistic part of me and completely like just took it out of the picture because I felt that it was unsafe for me to be autistic. And it really, I really haven't been able to make sense of that.
So interestingly, my mastermind class is coming in. There's a guy in the class who's building a business based on rebuilding brains. He actually was born with he had like a aneurysm when he was born, and he was missing a piece of his brain, and it caused all sorts of problems. And you know, it wasn't autism, but it was worse. You know, he had all sorts of processing issues, couldn't speak, couldn't do anything, and ultimately the rule keeper came in, you know, and his mom was a very strong rule keeper. And she was like, we're going to do this and practicing diligently every day to, you know, to do these exercises, to do the work, to do these things. And he's like the most entertaining, funny, creative, definitely creative idealist, you know, a lot of that in there, because that's ultimately where the, you know, remember if you've got any autism or anything that you want to, you know, you're checking out, you've got that. But that you very possibly came in the world and it wasn't a safe place for you. You didn't want to be here, and you have enough of that sort of like, maybe I won't even come in. And then that charismatic leader in you said, get your ass in here. We got shit to do, you know? And it was like, and it disciplined sort of like the, okay, I'll follow the rules. And this is why, you know, you may be even more sort of like resistant right now to the rules at all, you know, because the only way you survived was by the rules. But that that's sort of like not disconnected, because in autism they're connected, but it's sort of like that bigger vision, you know, just kind of like, I don't want to play. I don't want to play the game here. This game sucks, right? You know, that sort of awareness that, and little babies have to deal with this stuff. I mean, it's like, and the fact that you have that sort of vision, it's like, you know, I could have easily just checked out and stayed out. And certainly for me, I know that my mom was saying that when I was born, and often if you have a strong spiritual path, you can, you know, you're kind of like, oh my God, I want to get out. At like, I think it was at 10 months, I had some kind of a, you know, there was a lump on my head. There was something that was going on. And they brought me in the hospital. I was like 106 fever. And they were like, he's not going to make it. You know, and it was like, and that was my soul saying, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. This isn't going to be good. You know, nothing is ever going to be, you know, but then some part of this, of the spirit says, no, we got some other stuff to do. I know you want to check out, but it's time to get in there. And, you know, and I had a knowledgeable achiever mom too, that was like, these are the rules, this is how you do it. And she sort of brought me into that construction. So I hope that, so it's like, when you have those experiences, there may be that part of you that's so important to honor now. What if you were, you didn't have to be, because so much what we talk about with you is you're such a sweet guy, you know, and you've had this sort of belief that you have to be a strong, tough guy that's, you know, doing it and, you know, and able to manage himself and do this sort of stuff. But what if the reality is that you're just, you know, winging it? You know, that's just like, what? You know, you're like an autistic kid. It's like, whatever's going on, they're like, whoa, over here, over there. It's like, oh, pretty flower. Oh, pretty. It's like,
what? I've actually felt that this quarantine season, because I'm like, there's, I don't know if it's either, you know, infinite possibilities or what, but I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow in my life. And I'm okay with that, you know?
That's
so
huge.
I don't know.
And just look, so look how far you've come. Remember our conversations? You remember how you used to ask questions at the beginning of the program? It was like, you were constantly trying to figure shit out. And I'm like, you're never going to figure that shit out. You're going to feel it at some point, and then you won't even ask that question. And here you are. You're not even asking the question, just sharing your feelings. Look at how far you've come. Mm-hmm. Amazing. And so we're all, listen, I mean, one of the things that I got, you know, because I was, you know, labeled learning disabled, but there is not a person on the planet that's not learning disabled, because the rules about what you're supposed to learn aren't based on anything that you ever chose. And so you have to, you know, whatever the book says is some other person who isn't you, and we're all learning disabled around that. The knowledgeable achievers tend to be able to just pull it off and fake it better, but they know they're faking it, okay? They know they're faking it, right? Right, Paula? I can see you nodding there. Yeah, so it's really, it's big. Yeah, keep going.
Wait, no, that's
can I just
it.
Add
thank
something?
You,
what? Oh, yeah, anything, yeah.
Shatisha, and I heard you talking about this. One of the things I thought is that, you know, autism is a communication disorder, and I think that you should look at autism as a metaphor for how you think a child with autism feels. And not necessarily that it's that you had autism, you know what I mean? Like, to think of it in that way, maybe how you feel that you didn't belong or thought about things differently.
Yeah.
That was kind of what I was thinking when you were talking.
Oh yeah, that's an amazing insight, Karen, Corinne, thank you.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you, Corinne, that's awesome. And it is, you know, it's like, when you were, and not every one of us, when we were children, before you were indoctrinated into language, everything just was a miracle. Everything was just like, oh my God, it's like so, it's like everything was just like, ah, and you look at those little babies, and Willie, you're going down to work with your grandchild, and it's just like, you're gonna see in their eyes that they're not looking at the world and labeling anything. It's just sort of like, just, They don't they don't even know what things are. You show them something, you take them somewhere they've never been before, that waterfall, and they'll just stand there, and their mouth will just be just open. And then you'll teach them. That's a waterfall. And you throw the little stones in or you do this. And then after that, from evermore, they go in there and there's like waterfall. And they learn that rather than that, you know, and as adults, we're trying to get back to that place of awe again. So Shatish, I think that you are accessing that what we're all really after here, which is life not being some thing that we're operating in, but just there's an awe to life. Just like there's just, you know, we honor life by seeing, by going, oh my God. And that's the pineal gland. So here we are in the pineal gland. And I'm sure that the processing that the autistic has is just that they wire for the pineal gland way more than they do for the language centers, you know, for that connection.
Reese, can I jump in 1 second?
Yeah.
So one of the things, so whether it's autism or learning disabilities in general, it's from my experience in this, and as an inclusion specialist, this is one of the things that I really try to coach teachers and school-based people into understanding. It's that those children are, I reject the term disability always. I always have. I prefer the term variability. And it really is because they have a different way of seeing. They have a different way of understanding, which actually is their brilliance. But when you look at people with autism who are adults who actually find a way to communicate about their thinking and the way they see things, they often talk about feeling trapped in their own minds and feeling trapped within the sphere. And so I'm wondering, as Corinne said, both identifying with how folks with autism feel and then what it means for you to be able to see and understand things differently than everything else around you, and then understanding how to then figure out a path via, you know, that understanding.
Yeah.
Tatisha, I think this is really a call to look at your inner child and do some healing work around that.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and keeping in mind that Shatish, you share your inner child a lot with the group, but it's a little bit more of your inner troublemaker. What Corinne's talking about is the heart of your little child, of your inner child, that sort of helplessness part of it. And by the way, just notice everybody who shared today, everything you shared was that you felt trapped in your mind and something let go. And when you let that go, the heart became the mind. Rather than, because the containment is everything, I'm trapped in these thoughts that protect my heart, but when I actually let go of the thoughts, the heart doesn't need protecting. And so this is, so I think, you know, everybody has shared their heart here today, and I want to relate it to, since what we're supposed to be doing right now is talking about the secondary knowledgeable achiever. Everything that you all are doing, all the vows, our knowledgeable achiever, ultimately they break that down. That what you just described there of the brain being hardwired, you know, and having all the neurosynapses, you know, stuck in this way, a person who's really sensitive, like an autistic child, is gonna really notice, my brain's hard. You know, they'll say shit like that. You know, they'll be like, people will, and it's like, you know, these adults that I've worked with that have autism as well, they're so sensitive to these inner structures that most of us don't even notice because it's just accepted. It's just normal, you know, it's so that's awesome. Yeah. That's a great thing. And I think that metaphor is really the secondary rule keeper, which we all have a rule keeper as a secondary. Some of us have more than others, but we all have a tough critic that's got us as far as we've gotten us, but it can't take us any further. Corinne, you're muted. Are you not? You're not. You don't need to talk.
I'm all set. Sorry.
Okay. Okay. What's on our schedule here? This was really good. If anybody else, this is what the work is about. You know, I can talk to you about secondary profiles all until I'm blue in the face, but really, this is how it works. This is how the secondary profile works. You know.
Even in
Cheryl's situation, her rule keeper is telling her that if she doesn't leave the job and do the thing that she knows she's going to ultimately want to do, some healing work, she's not a good person. And it's a black and white situation. And, you know, and hopefully I was able to do some judo and show her that it's not black and white. There's a real, everything that's happening right now is somehow calling you forward, that vision, I'm going to get there, but I don't exactly know how. And it may be this, it may not even be that. You may go forward and you may heal in a totally different type of way. Go ahead.
Reese, we have 10 minutes left. And then after that 10 minutes, Kristen is gonna lead us in some yoga.
Okay. And so it goes, wait. What day am I on? Okay, here we go. on the wrong sheet. So 10:30, 10:45. We were supposed to, class video. Sorry.
It looks like it's your break time, Reese, from 12 to 12:30, and then you're in year one with their lunch and profile lineup.
Gotcha. I was looking at the wrong page. This is my dyslexia. Okay.
Yeah, you're back with us at 2.
Yeah, and so Teresa, I feel like I can teach what I teach right now because of my dyslexia.
I agree.
I couldn't. I never learned anything anybody else thought was important. Yes. I was always like, "Why are you learning that shit?" I could never understand anything about school. I never understood it. Even when I went to college, I went to play tennis. I got a scholarship. I got through classes, but I was like, really? And I never did. And that's why I feel like there's nothing even in the back of my mind that says this isn't the only thing to learn, right? So I didn't have to make a choice between normal thinking and this, because my dyslexia couldn't even access that stuff anyway. So I do believe that that's like, each of us have our own learning way we are learning disabled, and that's our gift.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yep. Okay, so 12 o'clock, you guys are on for your exercise. So we got 10 minutes. I'm loving what we're doing here. This is great. This is what I love to do with all of you. Who else has got something that they're struggling with or want support in, or maybe just share? I've made a major change in my life. I've really shifted. Who got something from the meditation last night or the meditation this morning?
Well, I'm feeling like I'm letting go and yet feeling self-confidence at the same time. That's different for me. I'm feeling like I need to do that pineal gland meditation on a regular basis to open all that stuff up.
Nice.
And things, nice. Instead of just being functioning from my mind. I feel like I'm finally letting that go and maybe learn how to function from my heart is kind of what I'm feeling instead of my mind. And that's that's a big, big deal for me.
Yeah. I mean, when you realize that the heart has an infinite, it's so much smarter than the brain, right? It's intuitively smart. And when you go from there, the brain can add on to it. You need your brain to function, but it's where it gets its information from. When it gets it from old stories, you end up in these old patterns and your self-esteem is down. You know, when you let go, I thought it was interesting how you said that. You said, I've let go, but I've also got self-esteem. I would say that it's the opposite. I'd say your self-esteem has allowed you to let go. And the self-esteem isn't the kind of self-esteem that you maybe have thought about what self-esteem would be, which says, I'm a good person, I'm doing good things, I'm doing this, and I have self-esteem. That's just called self-love. Self-esteem is like this. You're just a deep down inside. We've always seen it in you. You haven't quite caught up to it yet. Is that you're just a good person. That doesn't mean you can't be bad. This is what people miss. It's like, well, I'm not that good. You know, you got a charismatic leader in there. Yeah, everybody's got an edge on them. But you have that heart of gold, and that's just like it's a beautiful gift, and it's a strong heart. You know, and letting that speak for you and make your choices for you may get you in trouble, but it's going to build a sense of, I really trust myself. And you're right, doing that pineal gland meditation, you know, waking that up more in you and feeling that connection, and just softening more and more and more. It's just such a pleasure to see. So what else is going on for you? How are you? Are you back to work again? How is that going?
You're back.
Okay.
Well, it sucks the life out of me. I mean, that's the reason, like when you said yesterday, the nursing thing or whatever. So I think I need to get from my heart. Am I
can I have enough energy to do that or whatever? Because it just, like yesterday or whatever, I had a healing with Amy or whatever, and it was just like, yeah, it's just like, it just totally depletes me of my energy. It's unbelievable. I just feel like it's killing me.
Right. So I want you to reach out and connect with Cheryl. Okay. Because in a way, Cheryl's not quite as drained that way, it's the same inner rule keeper that doesn't let you benefit from something you're incredibly good at. Okay, because the rule keeper says they shouldn't run the hospitals that way. I work in a broken system. I, you know, all these things that you see. But if there were no rules at all, okay, and there just happened to be this big building and a bunch of sick people in it, you'd have your ass in there every day helping them, and you'd love it.
I like the people part.
Yeah,
I like the connection, but the freaking system just—I haven't
figured out
how to deal with that.
Right. And so that's what Teresa was saying as well, is that when you do what you're doing right now, it's you're making this pivot, right? You're starting to go, and we don't go very far, by the way, folks. Enlightenment is this far away from you, right? It's that far away. It might take 14 lifetimes to get there, but it's only that far away. As we pivot toward what's within us, you know, that heart lets you sort of have a more of a vision that's like, oh, I'm not here. You can separate inside of your energy the demands of the workplace, the corruption or the insurance problems and the medication, the over medicating, the under medicating, whatever all these issues are that go on in the hospital administration issues. All of that stuff is separate from your mission. If you could remember, and who did we talk to yesterday about this? But if you could remember that, and it's maybe your life purpose, at the end of your life, there will be 10,000 people who developed a level of hope and self-esteem, self-love, just from their interaction with you at the hospital, you know, just from that. And that is your legacy in the world. Those people do the same thing for other people, do the same thing for other people. And the fact that you have to put up with, as a nurse, hospital crap, you have to decide at some point what your purpose is. And it was like, for me, I was at a tennis country club for 18 years, really good one, like a top club, but board level people at country clubs it was really like chalk on, you know, fingers on the blackboard. And I could never understand. I would sit in these meetings and I'd just be like, oh, just give me a spoon. I'm going to just cut myself to death here. And as long as I was battling with them, my job sucked. And I had these moments when I was with the clients on the court and I was playing, and it was like, I had these moments like, why can't my whole job be like that? And then I realized that I was the one in charge of that. And as I did the energy work, it opened up more and more and more and more. And then all of a sudden I was talking with them differently, connecting with them differently, understanding them differently. I was actually making friends with these people that I was just like, why would I ever want to be friends with that person? Realizing that, oh my God, I have some of that in me. I'm that judgmental. I'm that controlling. I'm not different than them, you know? And so, and it was an opening, like you said, the opening of the heart isn't opening to just the sort of more love and more compassion and more of that. It's opening to all hearts. And that hospitals are doing in, you know, they may not be perfect, but they're doing a lot of good. And it's people like you that hold the hospital's feet to the fire, you know, or hold at least the intention of, there's a healing that has to happen here. There's cure, there's surgery, there's all these different things that that go on in a hospital. And then there's the part where the person remembers that they're more than they were when they came in. And that's your job. Because you've already done that with your classmates. I can see it. You make them feel that way. What if you had a vision that wherever I go, whatever I do, that's what my vision is. And as long as I get to do that, you're going to start doing that with your office, you know, with the other nurses, with the corporate people. You can't not do it until you say, shutting that down for you because I don't agree with you, or I don't want the, you know, or, you know, that sort of thing. So, and then that when you shut it down for them, you shut it down for you. And that's where your pain is coming from.
Okay.
You understand?
I think a lot of us work in fields where we don't actually agree with what's going on in our field. I mean, as a teacher and we're testing kindergartners seems insane to me. I know Mike has the same issue with his job. But the way I find peace with that is that when I am in front of my children, I am a safe place for them. I have fun with them and I make them laugh while they're learning. And so I'm able to give them that little peace in the day that I feel is a beautiful moment. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I deal with all the other stuff that's going on around me.
Yeah, Boston has wicked piss and I have wicked stupid.
Huh?
The people I deal with, I feel like are wicked stupid instead of wicked pissa.
Well, you know, what I found, because I tend to be a little bit of an intellectual, and so I do stand in a lot, I for years stood a lot of judgment of other people. And then I realized that there's levels of stupid.
Okay.
Right? And it's really kind of interesting to see the levels of stupid.
Okay.
And you can make a game of it, right? Okay. It's like, you know, there's all kinds of levels. There's a way to, you know, and then there's levels of boring. So some people are stupid boring. It's like, oh my God, this person can bore people to death in 5 minutes. I've never seen anyone do that. And then I sort of like, how do they do that? How do they walk in the room and everybody just starts like trying to leave the room right away? You know, how do they do that? It's like, it's amazing. You know, and so you befriend that person's quality within them, right? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, and you can do that. And it doesn't mean that you have to give. The problem is that you've learned that being nice to other people and taking care of other people is giving away your soul to do it. And it's the opposite. You do it naturally. You just learned it as a job. Same thing with me. I made my tennis pro. I made this high performance concept into a job. And then I realized, what it really is this thing. And then I taught that. I spoke that way. I went out and spoke to the tennis industry. And then when I was all done, I was like, it's not even tennis. It's even bigger than that. It's energy. You know, so it led me to that. But I had to find how I've made my life work. We all do it. This is the rule keeper. Again, this is the secondary rule keeper within you that doesn't give you the right to just be this amazing, amazing human being that you are.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. So I'm back with you guys When am I back with you guys?
Well, we have the, at 2:00.
After lunch.
After lunch, we're going to be together again.
Oh, right. Okay.
You've got awesome plans for us.
Lunch. Oh yeah. Oh, I got a bunch more time with you guys today. Oh, perfect. I'm with you till Woo-hoo! I'm with you till 4:00. Okay, good. Nice. Because mm-hmm. I want to keep this going and we've got some other stuff to do too. So mm-hmm. totally can't wait. Have fun with Kristen yes. And I'll see you all in 2:00.
All right. Thanks, Reese.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Okay, everyone. Now we're gonna transition to a little special exercise that Kristen has prepared for us. So that's going to be about 30 minutes long, and then we're going to move on to lunch, which will be from 12:30 to 2:00, and then at 2:00 we'll meet back in here with Reese. So Kristen is going to explain a little bit what she's going to do with us, and she's going to have her husband Mike in the background helping her. So to do this, you can leave your camera on, you can turn your camera off, whatever's most comfortable for you. So I'm going to turn it over to Kristen.
Hey, everybody. All right. So we're going to do like just a quick yoga flow. Some of it's meditation. It's nothing crazy, just a little bit of movement to kind of get your energy flowing. I kind of tailored it to the upper chakras, but really I just wanted to give you guys an opportunity to kind of move your bodies. I know it's hard for me to sit in front of the screen for so long. So as always, if something feels uncomfortable in your body, don't do it. You know, just listen to, you know, your physical vessel. If there's pain, don't do it. But if it feels good, move with it. So,
Kristen, can I interrupt you for 1 second?
Yep.
So if everyone goes and hits participants, you'll see Kristen's name come up, and then you can pin her, which will make her bigger on your screen.
Or you can go to the picture and do it too. Oh, I'm on mute.
So I've got my husband here. If you make your screen big and you can't figure out a pose, if you just look, he'll be demonstrating the pose for you guys. If
you can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, so if you guys are, you know, curious about a pose or you can't quite figure it out, just look to my screen. My husband's gonna model.
Kristen, we can't hear you talking.
All right, Mike said he can hear it. Let me try from over here. Can you hear me now?
I can hear.
Thumbs up for everybody if they can hear. Yeah. I can hear. And then you can put speaker view on, and that puts Kristen right in the center.
Okay, so we're going to try to do this, and hopefully you guys can hear me. All right, so you probably just want, you know, like a yoga mat size space. You're going to start sitting on the ground. So this is going to be tough not being able to see you guys, but we're just going to.
Kristen, your video cut out.
Oh, hold on.
Yeah, your video.
Okay. All right. So this might be tough. I won't be able to see any of your postures or anything, but we're just going to go for it and hope for the best. So, all right. So you guys are going to start in an easy seated pose, which is just like a meditation position. Just start sitting down and you're going to close your eyes and you're going to place your gaze inward. So you're going to leave the world of material form and you're going to put your focus inside. And you're going to take a nice deep breath. And you're going to start to let everything go. So take a nice inhale here and just let go of all of your thoughts about yesterday. Let go of your plans for tomorrow. Just feel your body in this time and in this space. Your mind might wander a little bit, and that's all right. As each thought arises, just let it go. Sometimes I like to imagine that all of the thoughts in my mind have little threads attached to the material world. And as they arise, I'll just cut them and I'll just let them go one at a time. And so what we're gonna do now is take a nice deep breath and you're gonna rest your awareness on your heart chakra. And you're gonna feel the presence of a warm, glowing light all around your heart. And let it clear your energy. With every exhale, it's going to clear your energy. And every inhale, it's going to fill you up with positive light. So try to imagine that your breath is flowing in and out through the center of your chest, charging us up with each breath in and each exhale, letting go of what no longer serves us. Just try to remember that no matter what's happening around you, whatever chaos might be in the world, you can always return to this still place within you. And so we're going to do another simple breathing pattern. On your next inhale, you're going to fill your low belly completely. Try to hold your breath for a minute, and then you're going to empty it all out. On your next inhale, you're going to fill your low belly and your mid belly. Hold it at the top of your breath, and then let it all out. On your next inhale, you're going to fill your low belly, your mid belly, and your upper belly. And then you're going to let it all out. Nice. And do that one more time, filling up your low belly. Hold it at the top of your breath and let it all out. On your next inhale, fill your low belly and mid belly. Hold it at the top of your breath and exhale it all out. Last breath here, fill your low belly, your mid belly, all the way up into your chest. Feel your heart space filling with energy. And on your exhale, let it all out. All right, so we're going to come into a tabletop position. So Mike's going to demonstrate tabletop. Perfect. Okay. So on your inhale, we're going to do a couple. Oh, I'm sorry, actually. Sit back down. Sorry about that. Okay. So on your inhale, you're going to lift your right arm towards the sky. And on your exhale, you're going to reach over to the right side of the building. There you go. Open up that side body. Awesome. On your next inhale, you're going to reach up towards the sky and place your arm back down to the ground. On your next inhale, lift your left arm up towards the sky and reach over towards the right. Really feel that side body open up and stretch. On your next inhale, reach up towards the sky and place your hand back down to the mat. Awesome. On your next inhale, reach your right arm up towards the sky. You're going to cross the arm over the body and swing your left arm up, hook it around. Perfect. And pull your arm in towards your chest. What I like to do here is I'll roll my wrists out, you know, kind of just creating some gentle circles and really getting that energy moving. Take a nice deep breath in. And on your exhale, bring your hands back down to meet the floor. So we're going to do the same thing on the other side. Inhale, left arm rises. Exhale, it crosses the body. Right arm scoops around and pull that left arm towards your chest. You can roll your wrists out. Awesome. You can bring your hands back down to meet the floor. On your next inhale, you're going to reach both arms up nice and tall, really connecting with the heavens. And on your exhale, you're going to bring your right hand to your left knee. Your left arm is going to reach behind you for a spinal twist. Take a nice deep breath in here. And on your exhale, see if you can twist just a little bit deeper. You can return to center. We're going to do the same thing on the other side. So nice, tall, both arms rise. On your exhale, bring your left hand to your right knee. Your right arm reaches behind you for a nice spinal twist. Focusing on the alignment of the spine, we always want our chakras to be stacked and our spine nice and tall. And these twists do a really great job at toning and strengthening the inner organs. So we're going to return now to our center. And now we're going to come into tabletop position. Okay. So on your next inhale, you're going to drop your belly down and your heart forward, or cow. And on your exhale, you're going to round your back and arch it up like a cat. Perfect. So inhale, belly down, heart forward. Exhale, rounded back, shoulders round, cat. Inhale, belly down, heart forward. Exhale, shoulders round, back round, cat. We're going to do that one more time. Inhale, belly down, heart forward. Exhale, shoulders round, back round, cat. Great, and you return to neutral position. You can take a couple circles if it feels comfortable. Just kind of like get that energy flowing in your body. And if you take circles one way, just make sure you take them again the other way to keep the to keep your practice balanced. Perfect. All right, so you're gonna lift your right arm up towards the sky now. And on your exhale, you're gonna sweep it through and you're gonna thread the needle, bringing your right shoulder down to the ground. And really sink into this posture. Take a second to feel how you live in your body. Feel if you're holding any tension or if, you know, your energetic restrictions, they make themselves really apparent when you're in simple postures like this. On your inhale, come back into a neutral position. We're gonna do the same thing on the other side. So left arm rises up towards the sky. Exhale, bring your left shoulder down to the ground, sweeping your left arm through. This is called threading the needle. Awesome. Again, feel what it feels like for your soul to be living inside of your body. And if you feel any tension, just breathe into that place and just kind of relax and let it go. And on your next inhale, you're going to come back into a neutral tabletop position. So now reach your left arm forward towards the front of the room, and your right leg is going to come back towards the back of the room. So that's called sunbird. Take a nice deep breath in here. And on your exhale, come back into a neutral pose. Again, we're going to do the same thing on the other side. So right arm forward, left leg kicks back towards the back of the room. You can really feel your hara line here. Feel that strength of your core holding you together. And on your exhale, you can come back into a neutral tabletop position. So this is going to be your first down dog of the day. So push back into a down dog. And you can walk it out if you have to. Bend your knees a little bit. Okay, and you're going to step forward to the front of your mat. Rolling your vertebrae slowly, one at a time. Arriving for your practice. So arms sweep up tall. This is called mountain pose, sunrise to mountain. And on your exhale, you're going to fold your body in half, bringing your palms down or your fingers down to the ground. On your inhale, you're going to flatten your back. And on your exhale, you're going to forward fold and let it all out. You're going to inhale, sweep your arms up, sunrise to mountain. And we're going to take a quarter turn to either side. So you're just going to take one quarter turn to the side of what would be your yoga mat. And you're going to exhale, forward fold. On your next inhale, you're going to flatten your back. Exhale, forward fold. Inhale, sweep your arms up, sunrise to mountain. Nice. Take another quarter turn towards the back of your mat. And on your exhale, you're going to forward fold. Inhale, flat back. Exhale, forward fold. Inhale, sweep your arms up, sunrise to mountain. And quarter turn again. And take a nice deep breath in here. And on your exhale, forward fold. Inhale, flat back. Exhale, forward fold. Inhale, arms sweep up, sunrise to mountain. A nice quarter turn back to the front of your mat. All right. So we're gonna bend our knees and keep our arms straight and take a chair pose. So just like you're sitting in a chair, feel the strength of your body. Feel the muscles in your legs and give thanks for them carrying you around throughout the day. Your feet are about hips width distance apart. And on your exhale, you're going to forward fold. Take an inhale, flat back. And now you're going to step back into a high plank position, kind of like a push-up. And you're going to bend your elbows and lower your chest down towards the ground. It's called chaturanga. You inhale, up dog. So chest comes up. And on your exhale, you're going to push back into down dog. Take a nice deep breath here. On your next inhale, you're going to bring your right foot to meet your hands. Your arms are going to lift up into warrior one. Pivot your foot for balance. Nice. Okay. Hands come down to frame your foot. You step back into high plank. Bending your elbows, lowering down into a push-up position. Bringing your chest down to the ground. Bring your full body down to the ground. On your inhale, you're going to bring your chest forward, up dog. And on your exhale, you're going to push back into down dog. On your next inhale, left leg comes through to meet your hands. Arms reach up, inhale, warrior one. Exhale, hands come down to meet the floor. Frame your foot. Push back into a high push-up position, lowering down onto your chest. Inhale, up dog. Exhale, down dog. You guys are doing awesome. Okay. So you're going to roll forward from this posture. You're going to roll forward into a high plank on your inhale. And on your exhale, you're going to push back into down dog. Exhale, down dog. Awesome. Inhale, high plank. Exhale, down dog. Inhale, high plank. From here, you're going to drop your right knee down to the ground. And you're going to kind of swing it out to the side like a kickstand. And your arm is going to reach up over. So you've got your left arm up towards the sky. This is called gate pose. This is a nice heart opener as well. Perfect. You guys are looking great. You're going to bring your left arm back down to the floor, left hand down to the floor. Push back into high plank and switch legs. So drop your left knee down. Swing it out towards the side like a kickstand. Open your right arm up towards the sky. Reach up nice and tall, opening your heart. Awesome. On your exhale, you can bring your hand back down to the floor. And you can lean back into a child's pose. Take a nice deep breath here. And when you're ready, push back into down dog. So step your right foot through to meet your hands. Inhale, arms reach tall, warrior one. On your exhale, you're gonna open up into warrior two. So turn to the side, perfect. You're gonna flip your hand and reach up towards the sky, reverse warrior. On your exhale, you're gonna come back into your warrior two. So both arms reach out, perfect. Now what you're gonna do is you're gonna clasp your hands behind you and you're gonna bring your right shoulder down to your right knee. This is called humble warrior. Take a nice deep breath here. And on your next inhale, you're gonna come in back into your warrior two position. Great. And you're gonna cartwheel your hands back down to frame your foot and step back into down dog. So we're gonna do the same thing on the other side. So step your left foot forward to meet your hands. Arms reach up tall, warrior one. Exhale, warrior two, open up. Flip your hands, reach towards the sky, reverse warrior. On your next inhale, come back into warrior two. Hands clasp behind you, left arm comes to meet left shoulder comes to meet left knee, humble warrior. This is a wonderful crown opener. On your next inhale, come back into warrior two. And cartwheel your hands down, so frame your feet. Step back into high plank. Lower your body down into a chaturanga, so push-up position, and you can rest your body on the ground. Okay. So from here, you're gonna push back into a child's pose. So knees are on the ground, hips go back, and you're just gonna gently roll your forehead from side to side on the ground. And this is actually gonna stimulate the pineal gland and activate the sixth chakra. All right, so push back into a down dog. And step forward to the front of your mat. So both feet come forward. Slowly rising up one vertebrae at a time until you're perfectly standing. Awesome. Okay, so what you're gonna do is you're gonna take your right knee in your right hand and you're gonna lift your knee up, pull it in towards your body, and then you're gonna pull it out towards the right, opening your hip. Feel that nice hip opener. Awesome. It's a nice balance pose. And now I'm going to ask you to switch hands. So you're going to take your left knee to your left hand to your right knee, and you're going to twist and see if you can stay balanced while you're twisting. So you're going to cross the leg over the body. Perfect. Awesome, Raphael. You got it. Okay. And now you can drop your foot to the floor. We're going to do the same thing on the other side. So left knee comes up, pull it out towards the left, opening your hip. Take a nice deep breath in. And then your right hand is gonna cross to your left knee and you're gonna pull that left leg across the body like a twist. And you're gonna just try to stay balanced there. Awesome, foot comes down to meet the floor. Nice deep breath in here. And so we're gonna heel toe. So we're about hips width distance apart. Our legs are a little bit wider than normal. And we're gonna lower our tailbone down towards the ground for a Malasana squat. So hands can come into prayer position. Awesome. Yep, Malasana squat. Yeah, so feet are pretty wide. You're gonna wanna be able to kind of rest your elbows on your knees and push your knees wide open with your elbows. So this is another hip opener. And when you're ready, you can bring your hands to your knees and you can lift your hips a little bit and you're gonna drop your right shoulder in towards your center line. You're gonna push your leg out and really get that nice twist in there. And we're gonna do the same thing on the other side. So left shoulder comes to your midline, really feeling that twist in the spine, rinsing out any energy that's kind of been building up from sitting in front of a screen. Awesome. Okay, so now we're gonna stand up nice and tall, coming back into mountain pose and slowly lowering down onto our seats. So just come right into a seated position and stretch your legs out in front of you, both together, reach up nice and tall towards the sky. And on your exhale, you're gonna bend forward, bringing your fingertips to your toes. Awesome. All right. So inhale, stretch up tall. On your exhale, you're going to bend your legs into a butterfly position, and you're going to bring your hands down to meet your feet. You're going to press your elbows into your legs if you can. Get them nice and deep stretch there. And you can even reach forward as far as you can for another hip opener. On your next inhale, you're going to come into an easy seated position. And you're going to slowly lower down onto your back. So you're gonna bend your knees now and bring your heels towards your butt. And your arms come down by your sides. And on your next inhale, you're gonna raise your hips towards the sky for a gentle bridge pose. Take a couple nice deep breaths here. And on your exhale, you can lower your hips down. We're gonna do that one more time. Inhale, hips rise. On your exhale, lower hips down to the ground. You can straighten your legs out. We're gonna bend your right leg up towards your chest, holding that knee, crossing the leg over the body's midline for a nice spinal twist. Look in the opposite direction of your knee. Take a nice deep breath here and really rinse it out. Inhale, bring your leg back into midline and stretch your foot down to meet your other foot. And we're going to do the same thing on the other side. So other leg lifts up, crosses the body's midline. Nice deep twist here. On your next inhale, we're gonna come back to center, rising the leg and then bringing your foot down to meet your other foot. And so what you're going to do here is grab both feet, take 1 foot in each hand. Yeah, so you're going to take the soles of your feet, legs come open for dead bug. Take a nice deep breath here. And on your exhale, you can lower down completely for your Shavasana. Just take a minute to take a nice deep breath here and really try to sense and feel the energy in your body. See if it's flowing any differently than it was when we first started our practice. See if any areas in your body feel tight. And if you're feeling any tension or tightness, allow it to relax. Send it energy and ask that your body just relax and let go. And take a nice deep breath in. And slow exhale. And let it out. When you're ready, you can sit up into an easy seated pose, bringing your neck up last. What I like to do is raise my arms up towards the sky, connecting with the heavens, symboling the connection with the divine, bringing your hands in front of your third eye to remind yourself to think kind thoughts. Lower them down in front of the lips to speak kind words, and lower them down in front of the heart to feel kind feelings. And thank yourself for practicing today. And thanks for practicing with me. Sorry, that was kind of hard to do on Zoom.
That was amazing.
Oh, thank you.
That was amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was hard not being able to like really see you guys, you know?
No, and I love your daughter being part of it. She's so precious.
That was awesome. Thank you so much.
Mike thank was you, Kristen awesome.
And Rhythm and Mike. That was really great. Wonderful job.
That was perfect. Kristen, you recorded that, right?
I didn't, yeah. But it looks like
it's recorded.
Yes, it's recorded.
Like, I want to do that every day.
Me too.
Yeah, I would go back to that recording. Lisa and I were just saying we would
me
take
too.
That in a minute.
Maybe I'll have Mike actually record the video and I'll just send it to you guys so you guys could do
yes.
it for like.
Please.
That would be awesome. A gift. Cool. That's a gift. Thank you.
Of course. Yes,
thank you. And Corinne, we were marveling at your yoga skills. Nice.
When we stopped our 40 days of gratefulness, I started yoga. So I've been on, I think I'm like on day 70 already. Yeah.
Oh, you're an inspiration.
Oh, thank you. All right, you guys, have an awesome lunch and we'll see you back I believe it's 2:00, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see you at 2:00 back with Reese. Bye, everyone.
See you guys. Bye.